Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jen Duffy, and thanks for joining us tonight for this edition of the Happy Healthy Hour. Callers can dial in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you want to be on the air and placed in the queue. We'll be taking questions, comments, and ideas from the audience tonight. So today's topic is growing your own and cooking with fresh herbs, and I am so delighted to have a very special guest with me today, Debbie Van Borgendien, a.k.a. the Bulb Lady. Debbie has a wealth of experience and really a true passion for gardening. She's also a two-time breast cancer survivor and a grandmother who shares her passion for gardening with her family and her grandchildren. So welcome, Debbie. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Life Coach Radio Network. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great, and I'm so pleased to be here tonight with you, Jen.
Thank you so much. Well, before we get started and eke out every bit of expert herb growing advice from you, our regular listeners know that I always start off the Happy Healthy Hour with a what we're drinking feature, a drink that's healthy and delicious. So today I made some strawberry basil lemonade. I have a ton of fresh basil from our farm share, and it's getting into those dog days of August, so I wanted to make something really refreshing. I really like adding basil to drinks every now and then. You know, usually you think of fresh basil and tomatoes as being such the epitome of summer. And, you know, the sweet flavor of basil makes it a great addition to salads or on top of any Italian dish. Basil is actually also rich in beta-carotene, which promotes heart health, and there's anti-inflammatory properties of basil, which are great for regulating the digestive tract. So basically, I just juiced a bunch of lemons, I think around 6 or 7 for a pitcher. I added some regular filtered water and then crushed about a few handfuls of the basil leaves and just kind of muddled them around in the bottom of the pitcher. I threw in some frozen organic strawberries just to give it a little more of a natural sweetness instead of using any added sugar. I try to stay away from adding white sugars to things. You know, if you are hankering for a little bit more sweetness, you can add maybe a palm sugar, which does have a lower glycemic index than the regular sugar. And if you wanted to make it a little bubbly, you could also add some club soda and still instead of some of the plain filtered water that I used. So what do you think of today's mocktail, Debbie?
Well, I really like it, but I know I shouldn't be saying this. It would be wonderful with just a touch of vodka.
I think that's a good idea. It is happy hour, so I think you could go either way depending on your preference. So anyway, let's get started on today's discussion. Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into gardening?
Well, grew up in a family, and even though my last name is Van Borgendien, my background is Italian. And we were about the only family I knew that didn't even grow tomatoes. But I met my husband, and when he told me that he was into bulbs, I immediately thought it meant light bulbs. And I thought, this is going to be great. Little did I know I was going to be marrying the man who imports most of the flower bulbs from Holland and all around the world into the United States. Well, I developed a green thumb, and I really got into gardening. And my expertise, as you know, Jen, is flower bulbs and perennials. That's really what I focus on. My garden has thousands of tulips planted every year. I probably have more tulips planted in my garden than most of your botanical gardens have. I also have a huge cross-section of perennials. And especially because of where we are located, I have a huge, huge selection of different hostas. But anyway, my garden has become my passion. And for the last 20 years, I have developed the most beautiful garden on the South Shore of Long Island, if I do say so myself.
It's true. You can say that.
But it was very funny. About 10 years ago, I decided that I wanted to put in an Italian herb garden. So I set about doing this, and it was going to be down. I created my own garden. It was very small, but the only thing we grew were tomatoes and herbs. And, zucchini. Can't have an Italian herb garden without zucchini. But anyway, the first year we had an abundance of zucchini, an abundance of tomatoes, an abundance of herbs.
Mm.
And the first year, which was 10 years ago, I planted sage. And it was very funny because I didn't realize, I grew up with sage. My grandmother, when she cooked, my family was from northern Italy, and they always cooked a lot with sage. They'd use sage when they were cooking a pork roast, when they were cooking chicken, and I loved the taste of fresh sage. And in the fall, I would always harvest a lot and just dry it and use it over the winter if I were roasting a chicken. There's nothing better than just a plain chicken with a little bit of olive oil, salt, pepper, and fresh or dried sage. It just is. You can throw in potatoes, carrots, some fresh onions, and just crumble the sage over it, and it's delicious. The other great thing about sage is I never realized that it was hardy. It's winter hardy here. In the spring, it has beautiful blue flower, which sort of goes along with the rest of my garden, but it just keeps coming back. It's like a woody, ornamental perennial. And most people don't think about herbs as perennials and that they can even put them in their perennial border or in their regular flower garden.
Well, that's an interesting idea. You're making me hungry with some of this talk, though. You, an interesting question, though. I know we're going to get talking more about growing them as well, but dried versus fresh. What's kind of parameters when you're using them in cooking? So,
well, I really prefer using fresh herbs if I can have them. When you dry them, I probably go to like a third or a half of the dosage because the dried is much more concentrated after you've dried them. But other than that, I prefer fresh if I can have them. And the beauty of my life now is I am retired and I spend half of my time in Florida. So I do have fresh herbs year-round now to use.
Oh, that's great. But now if you don't have that, you can grow herbs indoors as well, right?
You can. You can have a little window herb garden, which is very easy to do. You just get some seed. In fact, it's very funny. My basil has just been going crazy this summer, but it's August, and all of a sudden my basil is starting to get leggy. So
what does leggy mean?
Leggy means it's getting, instead of being lush, green, full leaves, I'm getting a lot of stalks with smaller leaves.
Okay.
So what's happened is the other day I got some basil seed out, and I just sowed another crop of basil because it's August. We live on Long Island. By the time this basil starts to come in, it'll be 6 weeks, and I'll have a fresh crop of basil.
Oh.
And it's time. Right now you're going to notice that the basil will start to get leggy, and this is a time when a lot of people start to cut it and use it for pesto and everything else. I still like that soft, fresh basil, the fresh basil leaves, and I use them up until October or November with tomatoes, with basil lemonade, with whatever I'm cooking, tomato sauce. I use basil in, so many dishes. If I'm making pizza on the grill, I mean, that's my new thing this summer. We've started making grilling our own pizza.
Ooh.
On the grill. And it's so simple. All you do is you brush this pizza dough that you can buy in the supermarket, brush it with olive oil, and quickly do it on the grill, take it off. And you don't even have to have tomato sauce. Just slice some fresh tomatoes, put some fresh basil on top of it, and put, some fresh mozzarella, and you have instant pizza.
And it brings out all the fresh flavors.
All the fresh flavors.
So when you're getting your basil now, are you cutting what you need to cook, or can you store fresh basil in your refrigerator, or what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can't. I usually cut some. I cut it. And I actually, to be honest with you, I keep a jar, like a mason jar, on my kitchen, over my kitchen sink. And if I haven't used all the basil, I'll just throw it in there with some fresh water, change the water every day, and then use whatever I need as the week progresses, and then go out and buy more. Okay. I mean, go out and pick more. But I do know a lot of people that don't have the luxury that I have, and they start to put basil away for the winter. And the best way to do that is to line a baking sheet with some wax paper or parchment paper and put your basil on top of it, put it in the freezer. When it's frozen, put it into a Ziploc bag, and you can have fresh basil all winter long.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so, I mean, you can buy dried spices in the store, but if you're growing it and want to try and extend the use year-round, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So some of our listeners I know grow their own herbs, so some of this might, these might just be interesting ideas for them to have. But now if you're a novice, let's start it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to get? What do you need to do? How much space do you need? You know, walk me through if I wanted to start growing my herbs and I've never done it before.
All right. Well, it's very interesting because when I first did my herb gardens, I planted, as I said to you, I developed my own little herb garden, and I planted all the herbs in the ground. Over the past year, I have found out that it was a trek. I mean, I'm getting older. I'm 64. So to walk all the way down to the far end of the property to get my herbs was getting to be a problem. Mm-hmm. So a good part of that herb garden has now been turned over to my son, who's growing dahlias.
Oh.
But I have also started to plant a lot of my herbs in containers.
Okay.
And they're wonderful. I keep them right by the back door. It's very easy. Take a pair of snippers and just go out and snip.
Now, do you have to get special snippers, or can you
no.
just use scissors?
You can use scissors. It's
okay.
So simple. People try to make gardening so difficult. It is the simplest thing. If I don't have scissors handy, I take my paring knife and walk out and clip off a swig of parsley or some dill or whatever, whatever I'm looking for, tarragon. I do try to group certain herbs together. Basil goes in its own pot because I use so much of it. Parsley is another thing. I use a lot of parsley, so that goes in its own pot. But my other herbs are oregano. I use a lot of French tarragon in different things. Dill, whatever. I put those in, I can group those together in one pot. I did find out, however, like we talked about sage earlier, sage doesn't do well in a pot. It seems to like a garden soil. So even if you have a close spot by your back door, you can plant the sage there. And really, sage can take a lot of cold. You
okay.
can pretty much, that sage that you plant in, even if you plant it now, you'll be able to have fresh sage almost until November.
Okay.
And it'll come back again. You'll start to see it greening up again in March or April. So you really have sage for a good part of the year. Parsley, basil, they're not winter hardy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to die back. But I have even learned, even in Florida especially, planting herbs in pots seems to keep away the insects and the bugs.
That was a question.
And that's
ask you
a big
about
thing.
How you do that.
You know, the insects seem to come up through the soil. When you do it in a container, first of all, it's much easier to grow it organically.
Mm.
It's not being affected by anything else that's in the garden that you're spraying or your landscaper is spraying or anything is going on in the grass. It's in a pot. It's raised. It's a much easier way to grow organic herbs. And all you need is a clay pot.
Mm.
I mean, depending on the size, mine is probably about, I have them that are about 16 inches in diameter, and they're probably about 2 feet deep. So,
what's the ratio? I mean, how many herbs, if you're starting from seeds or if you're starting from starter plants, how much can you put in a pot that size?
Well, I think that's what you have to do. When I start from seed, I usually am starting in like little seed pods where I'm starting growing in that, and then I transplant it into the big pot.
Okay.
And you don't want to overwhelm the pot because you have to have these little plants have air, and they need to have space to grow. It's kind of like having a child. I mean, you can't just put, you know, six kids in a – you know, a 3-foot space and expect them to do well. They're going to fight. They're going to argue. Give them space, and that's how herbs go. I really, for the most part, basil and parsley I grow a lot from seed.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my herbs I pretty much get at a local garden center.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know your garden center, especially if you're going to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know that the herbs you're buying have been started from plugs that are organically grown.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it that way. They're much easier. I only need one plant. I mean, it's amazing. People will buy, you know, like 12 plants of basil. 12 plants of basil is enough to feed an army. You know, you're looking, you're sitting there saying, okay, what am I going to do with all this basil?
Open a restaurant.
I know. It's amazing. Speaking of restaurants, a few weeks ago, I was at home in Connecticut, and I saw the most wonderful use by a restaurant. They were in a strip mall, and they had hired a landscaper, and it was right outside their restaurant, and they had cut out concrete from the sidewalk, and they created their own herb garden. It was a little pizza parlor. They had arugula growing in there. They had basil, purple basil.
Now, purple parsley. Basil. What's the difference between the basil that's green and purple basil?
Well, green basil is what the Italians always use. Purple basil has another taste to it, but it's very similar. And sometimes it's really wonderful just to mix the two if you're, like, doing tomatoes and mozzarella or something like that. Just the color difference. There's not a lot of taste differential.
Okay.
A lot is just, you know, the way you're presenting something. But this little pizza parlor grew all their own herbs. They walked outside, and they grew fresh herbs right outside their little restaurant. And I looked, and I thought, oh, my God, look at this. There's a Big Lots. There's a little pizza parlor. There was a AT&T store, and I think there was a there's the ubiquitous you know, pharmacy, whether it was CVS or Rite Aid or whatever. But here in the midst of all of this, and in the middle of this concrete sidewalk, they had cut a chunk out, and it was so refreshing to look at a commercial endeavor, like a little pizza parlor, who decided to grow their own herbs. People walking into the restaurant always stopped to look at it. And I looked and said, wouldn't this be wonderful if every community started to take strip malls and grow their own vegetables in it?
Well, and it definitely creates a nice aroma, too. You can't
help but
walk past a herb garden and smell the herbs growing. And it's a really great use of space. And for them, it's very sustainable for them to get their herbs from there.
Well,
so
that is good.
Interesting. Now, backing up, though, just a little bit. So we kind of were talking about this restaurant idea, which is really great. But again, for the home use, what in addition to the soil and the proper space, let's talk about light, watering.
Well, herbs need a lot of sunlight. They to grow them in shade is almost impossible. They do they'll reach for the sun, and they'll get very tall and leggy. If you look at most of your herbs that are grown anywhere, they really do need sun. Half a day sun is fine, but and not a full day sun, but half a day is sufficient, but not in full shade. They do like water. You probably should water, if you have them in a container like I do, considering how far along they are and when the season is, I probably water every other day at this point, and I water thoroughly and deeply, and then not for another 2 days. You don't want to overwater because they may rot, but, you know, you really have to water them.
So should if you stick your finger in the soil, it should
and it's
feel
dry, yeah.
pretty
if
wet.
If it's dry... No, it shouldn't feel wet.
Okay.
You don't want to feel wet. If it's dried to the bone or cracking,
okay.
you need to water them.
And do you need to make drainage holes in the pot?
I always, all my, you know, and that's why I'm telling you clay is the best thing to use because clay drains well.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the whole thing. You need good drainage for herbs, too.
What about, I've seen oak barrels or, like, they almost look like the wine barrels.
You can use those. That's not a problem. Again, you know, just make sure you have good drainage in it and that your soil mix. That you're not growing in, you're using a potting soil. You can buy that at almost any garden center.
Mm-hmm.
But you want a lighter mix, and you don't want to use just garden heavy topsoil or heavy clay soil.
Okay.
You want a good mix that's going to allow that plant to grow and to drain well.
And do you need to use any sort of organic fertilizer?
Yes, I always, I mean, I fertilize every plant. You know, it's like, it's just like us. We like to be fed. Well, plants like to be fed. You
being
know,
fed good things help them grow
help them.
Better.
And again, organic fertilizer is very good for your herbs.
And how often do you have to fertilize herbs?
Usually probably once a month is sufficient. You don't want to overdose. You know, it's you don't want to, you know, drown them in fertilizer. So once a month is usually what I usually do.
And are there any herbs that have to be grown alone, not because your preference is to grow a lot of them, but because they dominate the...
Well, that's what I'm telling you. Basil and parsley
happen
to dominate. And again, they just really do take over, and you'll find out that, like, your smaller herbs, like oregano or tarragon especially, will get lost in the shuffle, and it'll die back when it's overwhelmed by these other herbs.
And then we talked a little bit about dealing with pests. I think I'd read somewhere that you can spritz them with a water bottle and some, like, organic soap, like a liquid soap is a good way to naturally deter pests. I mean, do you find that it's generally pests are attracted to the herbs a lot, or they're...
I don't have a real problem. Sometimes with parsley, you'll find this little worm that grows on it. But again, if you just use, you know, like an organic soap and dilute it with water, I mean, definitely dilute it, and just spray it on, the bugs don't like the taste of the soap, so that's a good way to deter your any type of insects. You know, there are a lot of sort of herbs, I don't know, but like citronella and things like that, that are natural,
mm-hmm.
and they are naturally deterrents for mosquitoes and things like that. So
I heard that about lavender as well.
Lavender does it,
okay.
But citronella is especially nice, and it's also pretty. It's a form of geranium, but it is an herbal form of geranium. And I keep that outside my back door also because it does keep, like you can actually smell it. When you rub the leaves of this, you'll smell the smell of citronella.
It's like those candles that
mm-hmm.
you buy? Oh, wow.
And
it's
a natural citronella because
oh,
it's a natural plant. And I usually grow that. Be careful with the mints, like peppermint, spearmint. They tend to get over, like they're another one that's very aggressive and overwhelming. So I actually planted citronella with peppermint in a pot this year, and the fragrance is really wonderful.
Really?
The other thing I have to tell you that I just discovered last week, I went out to pick dahlias from my original herb garden, and I brought it inside, and I stopped, and I picked some peppermint that had sort of grown overwhelmingly, and I mixed the peppermint in with the dahlias, and I put them in a vase in the house, and it was so wonderful because the whole room was smelled of mint.
Oh.
It was like a natural fragrance. It was just, like a natural air freshener.
Yeah.
And the foliage of the mint complemented the dahlias. So I had the beauty of the flower, and then I had the peppermint.
And mint is supposedly very peppermint to relaxing and refreshing. I know a lot of times people are headache sufferers. They will recommend that you take some peppermint oil and
mm-hmm.
inhale that or rub it on your temples or something just
right.
to kind of help clear things out and be like, wow, that's an interesting idea to make your house smell good too. People spend all this money on home sprays and air fresheners and really you can just grow it in your garden.
Right, you just grow. I mean, really, mint, peppermint, spearmint, you have to be careful where you plant it because
mm-hmm.
it will it is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to plant it in a spot where you know it's going to be contained. But if you do get too much of it, just think about picking it and bringing it inside. You don't have to put it in a bouquet. Again, use a mason jar. Put it on your windowsill. And all you have to do is rub the leaves, and it releases the fragrance.
Wow. And so we talked, I asked you if I could just use my regular scissors, and you said, yeah. So how often do I need to go out and cut my herbs or cut them from my windowsill?
Well, I cut herbs every day because I use them every day when I'm cooking. I think that's the whole question. When do you want to use your herbs?
If you go away on vacation for a week, what happens to your herb garden?
Oh, I usually make sure my son waters it. And it does get overgrown or whatever, but when you come home, you just pick it. It was funny, a few years ago, I had an overabundance of parsley. Now, I love parsley, but, I mean, how much parsley can you snip on things to make it look pretty or to use in your whatever? So I decided to cut it, and I made a parsley pesto. And I made it the same way I made a basil pesto. And what I actually did was I picked a whole pile of parsley and some fresh garlic, and I chopped it up in the food processor, added some pine nuts and olive oil. And I have to tell you, on whole wheat pasta, that parsley pesto was out of this world. It was had a totally different flavor than basil pesto.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, I thought, what am I going to do with all this parsley? And I thought, well, with an overabundance of basil, I make pesto. Why not try a parsley pesto?
That's fantastic. Parsley is really rich in vitamin C, B12, K, and A, and it actually also helps remove excess fluid. So it's really great, actually, if you're feeling bloated or need to detox. So you kind of have the pasta and the parsley. It's a good combination. And I know a lot of times people will add parsley to their green juices or their green smoothies for those same properties. So
mm-hmm.
so having an overabundance of parsley, I don't think
always
is a good thing. So actually, if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to the Happy Healthy Hour on the Life Coach Radio Network. Listeners can call in 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you'd like to be on the air. I also hope you'll check out some of the other shows on our network. We have a great lineup with amazing coaches who have a wealth of knowledge and insight to share. This is the Happy Healthy Hour, but there are topics ranging from spirituality to career development to many different things. And we also have a new sister network now, the International Life Coach Radio Network. So I'd also encourage you to check that one out too. especially if you're listening overseas and the times on the U.S. network don't always work for you to listen. And so today's topic, we've been talking about growing and cooking with herbs with our fabulous gardening expert, Debbie Van Borgendien. And now let's keep talking about, you know, the herbs here. You talked a little bit about the different ones that are harder or easier. Are there harder or easier ones to grow?
Well, I don't know. I really have not had a difficult time, but I have a very green thumb. I sometimes even use some of the herbs that I grow, like oregano, in my rock garden because it is very decorative. I mean, besides being a wonderful herb to use in cooking, it is very, very pretty trailing over rocks, and it has beautiful purple flower. So a lot of times I don't just use herbs for cooking. I use herbs in the garden just because they make it becomes like a ground cover. Mm. Walking through the garden, the fragrance is really nice. Mm. So it's not just, you know, you can't just have a healthy lifestyle without appreciating being outside in the garden and walking along. So I really enjoy using herbs, you know, in my regular garden, even for decoration purposes. You don't have to just grow herbs to say, well, I'm going to cook with these. You can use them for other things, but you can always, you know, so it's sort of a twofold project.
That's interesting, though. And would you consider gardening almost as a form of sort of like therapy or meditation? I mean, the time you spend gardening.
Oh, I definitely think that gardening is definitely a therapy. You know, there are people that think of a garden as work. My time in the garden is totally therapy, and I really am a heavy-duty gardener. But I'm never out there where I look at it as a job. I look and can't believe what I can create, and it's sort of like having a painting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an artist, but I am an artist of plants. I think that's – and it's very relaxing. It's soothing for me. When I was sick several years ago, the most difficult thing was because I was on chemo, I had to be careful with my immune system of getting, you know, thorns or dirt or whatever. And it was the most difficult time of my life because I could not be outside and feeling the soil and the warmth of the soil and the sunlight and watching something that I planted grow. So I definitely think gardening is definitely therapy and therapeutic.
Mm. And I feel like a lot of times people are sort of daunted by gardening because they think it's going to be a lot of work and upkeep, or it might be sort of a costly habit if they don't have a lot of space to do it or need to have, you know, hire people to do their pruning or something for them. But it sounds like there's a way, particularly even with growing herbs, to make it less time intensive, less cost intensive.
Well, you know, Jen, it's very interesting because, you know, we live on Long Island and we have a big piece of property, but I have several friends who live in Manhattan, and they don't have huge properties, as you know, or they may have, you know, just a little patio garden, and that's the beauty of growing herbs.
Or a windowsill.
Or a windowsill.
Like yeah.
Well, that's just it. You can have a little container, and if you get up every morning and you look out your windowsill, and here is this little window box that you have filled with herbs, and you can just look at them and water them and feed them and look at the sun and a bird will go by or a butterfly or whatever, a pigeon even. And it'll just make you feel good about yourself because you sort of look at something and say, hey, I grew this. I did it. You know, I didn't need the maintenance man to do this. I did it myself. And I think the problem with a lot of people is they do look at gardening is daunting, but once they start to see the satisfaction and realize how simple it is to do, I have never met anyone with an authentic black thumb.
Is that the opposite of green thumb?
Opposite. Now they do. There's no one. You just have to be patient, and you know be kind to the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I definitely think more people are getting into gardening too and growing their own food because we're reading and learning so much more about how our food is being grown sometimes, and people are making a choice to buy from local farmers, support their local farmers, or grow their own. And so being able to grow a few things yourself is extremely gratifying and not necessarily having to go out to the store all the time. And herbs, you know, getting back to the cooking aspect, I think really help allow you to cook with less fats and added sugars. And obviously there are good fats. You want to be cooking with olive oil and adding some avocado and whatnot, but, you know, really having to make things too rich or add too much salt or too much sugar, the herbs really bring out the flavor in the food.
Well, you know, it's very funny, but I go back to my background, which, as I told you, is Italian. And if you go back and I look at the way my grandmother cooked, now my grandmother was a very basic, poor Italian woman, but she was the most wonderful chef, and all she used was a little bit of herbs. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was rosemary or, as I said, sage, olive oil. Anywhere you go in Italy, they don't cook extremely extravagantly. Everything that they're doing, they're cooking with fresh herbs,
mm-hmm.
salt and pepper, olive oil, whether it's rosemary. I mean, rosemary is another herb that I don't know how people could live without it.
Mm.
And rosemary is one of those plants. Rosemary can take it when it's dry.
Okay.
They don't like to be overwatered. If you forget to water rosemary for a month, it's no big problem. And, you know, all you need is a few sprigs of rosemary. I make a vinaigrette, which I absolutely love. And when I make vinaigrette dressing, I put a little fresh curry into
Oh,
it.
Oh, interesting.
And curry is such an underused herb. It's silver. It's
so
really,
it's
really
curry
pretty.
Curry the same if you get a food that has is a
if
curry?
Like if you're having curry at an Indian restaurant, when you buy curry as an herb, it's yellow. When you grow curry as an herb, it's silver.
Interesting.
And the fragrance is wonderful. I just, you know, I must, if I'm making a vinaigrette, I'll just muddle it in the bottom before I add my olive oil or vinegar. And I just do a little bit of curry and black pepper, and I use sea salt and olive oil and vinegar. And I have to tell you, it adds such a difference to your salad.
Mm-hmm.
And curry is also a very, very healthy herb. And people look and said, what is in the salad? This is great. And I'll look and say, curry. And they'll say, I don't like curry. Well, do you like this? And they said, I like this. But, you know, that's just it. I think people have prejudices against certain flavors.
They think they don't like
that they
like
don't
them.
Like. But it's hard to find curry. Again,
mm-hmm.
you cannot go to, like, a big box store or, like, a Home Depot and say, do you have curry? No, you have to go to
you
a local.
You go online?
Well, I always find if you go to a little local garden center, even if they don't have it, they might be able to get it for
oh,
you.
Oh, okay.
So, but it is, and it's really pretty. I mean, in your herb pot, if you have all these green herbs, and all of a sudden you have this little bit of silver, and that's your curry plant, it's beautiful.
That's so neat. I'm going to have to go grow some curry. I love the idea that you were talking about, though, making vinaigrettes. On one of my earlier shows that was more about being healthy on a budget, I basically said, stop buying the salad dressings in a bottle, the package. It's a waste of money, unless there's a flavor you absolutely love and, you know, you're crunched for time, you know, and you want to have that staple bottle in the fridge. But really, with some fresh herbs and garlic or oil and vinegar, like, it's so easy. I mean, are there other herbs that you really like to put in salads?
I use chives, which are, again, chives is another, you know, I am a flower lady. Chives has a really pretty purple flower when it flowers in this early spring. You know, so it's very funny. The more I think about it, so many of the herbs have blue flowers, and everybody complains about not having blue flowers in the garden. Chives have a bluish-purple flower. The sage I told you about has a bluish-purple flower. It's really amazing now I'm thinking about it. You know, if you want to have a blue garden, plant your herb garden. But I use fresh chives in my vinaigrettes. I use French tarragon, I think, is a powerful herb. You don't need a lot of it, and you can chop that up and use that in a vinaigrette. Totally different flavor than the curry, but I always add parsley.
Mm-hmm.
Parsley is just a staple in my vinaigrette.
What's the best way to chop the herbs? I know that it can be a little daunting trying to get it off the stem and trying to chop it up in a so you're not eating like chunks of herbs in your salad?
Well, I pretty much just, I do remove the herbs from the stem, and I use a wooden carving board, and I have just a huge French knife that I mince with.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, on the other hand, is the lazy chopper, and he has one of those chopping machines that I think I bought, I don't even know where, and he just chops and chops and chops with this little chopper, and it does. It works very, very well with when he does his herbs that way, or garlic.
It must be a male thing, because my husband uses the mini Cuisinart and laughs at me when I use my knife. But I find chopping very cathartic. It's my therapy. I like to chop in my vegetables and my herbs. I enjoy it. It does add
to John
time,
is a chop, chop, chopper. I mean, and, you know, the other thing that I use a lot of herbs in is if I'm making garlic bread. When I'm making flavored butters, not just for garlic bread, but also for fish or for whatever I'm cooking, even steak, if you're going to make a flavored butter, the thought of adding chives and parsley, French tarragon to a flavored butter, and, you know, you can keep that in the refrigerator for a while.
That's actually a good question, because I've been really obsessed lately with making basil butter for
mm-hmm.
corn, because it's so much abundant, amazing corn on the cob that we've been having now in the season. And so I've been taking a handful of basil leaves and putting in my blender, you know, half a stick of the organic butter and a little bit of olive oil, so it's a little bit more viscous.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sound? We lost it? It cut out? It says we're on the air. Apologies, if you are still listening, it seems that we are having some potentially technical difficulties. I believe we are still live. Again, please stand by. It seems we may be having some technical difficulties.
What?
I think we should just keep going. Let me go after.
Well, as I said, you started to talk about how, you know, making your butter. I really do like adding a little bit of olive oil to my butter in the blender, or if you're going to use it in a bowl and just use a good fork to mix it, and then adding the chopped up different herbs. You can add, if I'm making garlic bread, I'll chop up the garlic and add that to it. And then I just keep it in a covered glass bowl. I do have to tell you that I wouldn't keep it for more than, within 2 weeks, I definitely use it. If I haven't used it at that point, I'll discard it. But I think 2 weeks is about as long as I would go with something like that.
Okay, that's good to know. And thank you if you're still listening. Apologies. It seems like there might have been a brief intermittent issue with network connectivity. But we're back and we're going. And we're now talking about herb butters, which is really making me hungry because I've been just loving this basil butter on the corn on the cob. And that was the question, if we could save it or not, because, you know, you want to make enough and you don't want to douse your corn with too much butter because it can be a little overwhelming. But, yeah, so it's definitely something that if you can keep for the week or two, that's helpful to know.
Well, and if you've made it, it's so simple. If you pick up a piece of fish when you're coming home after a busy day, and you can just take your fish, wash it off, dry it, and put it in a piece of foil and put this herb butter on it, a little salt and pepper. If you have some fresh tomatoes, chop that up.
Mm.
And then close the thing up like an envelope and put it either on the barbecue or in your oven. And I find out that I can do a wonderful piece of fish in less than 10 minutes. And it tastes as great as going to the nicest restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of olive oil drizzle over the top, and that herb butter is just, the longer you, I mean, it's not just the first day. After like 2 or 3 days, those herbs really get into the butter, and it really becomes very, very flavorful.
And it's so easy to do.
It is.
It really is, and it's kind of impress my guests. They're like, oh, wow, you made this homemade basil butter. I'm like, if they only knew how easy it was to do. And just something different and really using, you know, fresh ingredients in your cooking, which just gives it so much flavor. And, you know, a lot of times I think people are satiated with eating less when the food is more flavorful. So cooking with herbs makes you not want to necessarily just eat mindlessly because the food has flavor and you don't want to just keep going and going because you're just still hungry or needing that satiation that comes from something that has got a lot of flavor.
Well, and I don't think it's heavy cooking either. It's more of a light, fresh taste to the food. And I think that's another thing that's really great about it.
What about cilantro? I know cilantro gets a bum rap sometimes because some people really hate it and then other people love it, and it can be tricky to work with, I think.
Well, I'm not a huge cilantro fan, but I don't think you could make some of the Spanish things I make without cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you're going to be doing any type of, like if you're using avocado or if you're making a salsa, you need cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, I think you have to be careful with how much you
mm-hmm.
use.
A little bit goes a long way.
That's just it. I find that a lot of times people just use too much cilantro. It's not parsley.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very strong flavor, and you have to be careful how much you're using. But, again, it's the same thing with rosemary. Rosemary is a very strong, powerful herb. You know, you really wouldn't want to use, you know, like a whole stem of rosemary in a vinaigrette dressing. It would be like, whoa, this is really too overwhelming. Which brings up another fact. You know, herbs are wonderful, but they're powerful.
Mm.
So you have to really have to figure out what your taste buds are tuned to. And that's how you would, I think that's the whole thing. And it's all trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
If you overwhelm yourself the first time, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just look and say, well, next time I have to put a little less of this or a little more of that. And work that way.
And also, I think generally cooking with herbs is safe if you have any kind of medical condition or you're pregnant, because it's cooking with herbs as opposed to taking any kind of herbal supplement. But if you do ever have any questions about herbs and you have a medical condition or you're pregnant, always consult with your physician. You know, if you're going to introduce something new you haven't mm-hmm. before, because I know that sometimes too much parsley, you know, parsley like in the juices cannot be great, you know, different things. So again, if you're on any kind of medications or have a condition, you know, check with your doctor if you have questions, if you're introducing something new based on, you know, wanting to be more experimental with herbs and such. What about thyme? I know thyme is used a lot in French cooking.
I like thyme. I use thyme in stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing like a stuffing for something, whether it's a bread stuffing, especially turkey stuffing, I use thyme for that. You know, it's funny. I use different herbs for different things that I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So I do use thyme a little bit for that. You know, again, you know, you have certain things. I mean, I think dill is, if you're making a Bloody Mary on a Sunday morning, you need to put dill.
I've never tried that.
Oh, my gosh. Bloody Marys with a little bit sprig of dill is absolutely wonderful. So think about that for Sunday morning, you know, when you're sitting there. And, you know, again, a Sunday morning, make a brunch. Do a brunch and do Bloody Marys with fresh dill. And do some eggs with some fresh chives
mm-hmm.
and some fresh parsley in it.
I love fresh herbs and eggs.
I never
put that in, and then my husband actually introduced me to using fresh herbs and eggs. And I used to be one of those ketchup slathers.
Oh, God.
I cringe now to think about the amount of added sugar when I would douse my eggs with ketchup. And now the herbs, they give the eggs such flavor, I don't miss the ketchup.
No, and it just takes an ordinary, normal egg that everybody has in their refrigerator. And, I mean, just to, like, just quick stir it with a little bit of fresh herbs in it, it's like, it's a whole new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon, if you have some smoked salmon and a little bit of creme fraiche. And, again, do use the dill with that. And it's just wonderful.
I've been making a lot of chicken salad with dill. So just taking the leftover chicken breast or pieces of chicken and mixing it with, I've been using organic mayo or like this veganese thing just to keep it a little bit lighter. And I've been chopping up the fresh dill, some walnuts, and it's just and a little bit of green apple if I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a flavorful chicken salad. You don't even want a sandwich because really, the salad so alone is great. So tasty.
I've just started this year. I did grow a little lemongrass, which a lot of people use in Thai cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm not really great with it yet. Again, you know, you have to experiment. But I thought, well, I saw it at the garden center, and I thought, oh, lemongrass, that might be interesting.
So it comes in those stalks.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried cooking with lemongrass, and I wasn't 100% sure, can you eat that, or how does it work?
Oh, no, yes, absolutely. You can eat it as long as it's chopped up fine.
Chopped up finely,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was actually on vacation once where they made lemongrass popsicles that they would bring to you on the beach. It
really?
Was amazing. And so I was Googling to try and find out how to make a lemongrass popsicle. And I saw one that was a lemongrass cantaloupe popsicle, but I still was a little intimidated by the lemongrass,
yeah.
So I haven't tried.
It was delicious. But again, you know, it's trial and error. But, I mean, I've been reading in a lot of the cooking magazines this summer about doing, you know, cool ices and, you know, freezing using different herbs with some of the, you know, flavored waters and just using those as ice cubes and putting, you know, fresh lemon water over it. And it's just
a really refreshing treat.
Refreshing drinks, you know.
What about gifts? Can you gift people herbs or make things with herbs that you can give them?
Well,
kind of a DIY.
I do know a lot of people that grow lavender and use those for making lavender sachets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fresh lavender is a wonderful thing for your sleeping. If you're having a difficult time sleeping and you can crush some dried lavender under your pillow or in your bath water, it is very relaxing and will help you sleep. I mean, the smell of lavender.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people, I mean, that's back for many, many years. I mean, 100, 200 years. People used to make fresh lavender sachets because they didn't bathe as much as often as we did. So I guess they use that as their deodorant, but they would hang like little mesh bags with lavender around their necks to offset the bodily odors that they have. I guess you could do that with that citronella we talked about. And maybe you'd keep the mosquitoes away. It would be an herbal way of
the summer months.
Good. It would be a natural way of keeping mosquitoes away from you.
And is lavender hard to grow?
Lavender is another thing that's very simple to grow. It's sort of like the rosemary. It likes dry, very dry, arid conditions.
Okay.
So if you have a dry, and it loves full sun. But lavender loves sun and dry areas, you know. And I am not adverse to, besides growing it, is to find, if you're finding fresh herbs at a local farm stand or a farmer's market, is to bring them home and use them that way. Lavender you can dry. It's very simple and it's very pretty. All you need to do is wrap it with a piece of pretty twine. I mean, you could wrap a piece of purple ribbon around it and, again, hang it over your kitchen sink or in your bedroom or your bathroom to give you that soothing feeling, because the smell of it alone, when it's dry, is wonderful.
And I like the idea before you were mentioning even putting herbs in your centerpieces.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're setting a table, you're having some guests over, you don't need to necessarily go out and buy flowers. You could maybe just put some of your fresh herbs together and have a nice
aroma. Peppermint, parsley. Look at the color of curly parsley, how pretty it would look. You know, I have guests coming tonight for dinner. Maybe when I go home, I'll sit there and make an herb centerpiece.
I love it. Parsley, Italian versus flat leaf. Is there any
flavor? There is nothing. It's just a question of what you like.
I've always wondered that. I mean, I've cooked with both, but I always wondered if there was fundamentally
flavor. I just think the taste of parsley is parsley. But, I mean, there are certain things that I like the flat leaf parsley for, and the other things that I just like chopping up the really tight curly parsley.
Mm-hmm.
But flavor-wise, it's parsley is parsley.
And do you ever steep herbs to make any sort of, like, tea or anything? Is that something you can do?
You can do that. I've never done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess I would have to say I really have no idea how to do it. But I do know that there are a lot of herbal teas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that that's how they do them.
Yeah.
You know.
And to make a blend that suits them. Yeah, I guess if you looked on the internet, there'd probably maybe be some interesting ways to make teas from your herbs.
Well, and you know, the hot thing this year, I mean, everybody I know are doing rubs for their meat, or with their chicken, or their fish when they're cooking, when they're barbecuing. And all of that is dried herbs that you're just compressing together and putting on whatever you're cooking, whether it's turkey or chicken or beef or whatever. And you want that herb rub to saturate that meat before you put it on your grill or on in your oven or whatever.
So if you wanted to do that with fresh herbs,
mm-hmm.
would you have to dry them first?
No,
then,
no. All you do is you chop them up fine or muddle them together.
Mm-hmm.
You can, and I don't even add olive oil. I just sort of move them together, mix them together. I do use, as I said, the sea salt, and I'll use that together, and I'll just put it into whatever I'm cooking and let it sit for like an hour, 2 hours before I cook it,
mm-hmm.
and use that dry rub to flavor the meat.
And herb salts, I've seen them in stores.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can make your own herb salt? Or?
I think you can. I happened to buy one last week that I really liked a lot. But I looked and I thought, gee, I could do this myself. And it had rosemary, again,
mm-hmm.
in it, and sea salt, black pepper. I'm trying to think what else was in it. And it was just a really nice flavored, you know, salt, which, see, I prefer using sea salt over iodized salt.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's much healthier for you.
Flavorful, too. You don't have to use as much.
No.
You use just a little bit, and it has much, yeah.
And so I really have switched over to using, you know, that. So I think if you chop up your herbs with that sea salt, you can flavor almost anything.
Mm. And then you could just store it so you have it on hand when
mm-hmm.
you need to do it in a pinch, literally.
Right. In a pinch, you can use your new herbs.
That's fantastic. So I know we're getting close to the hour, and I mean, I feel like I've learned so much and I have some new ideas. Are there any other secrets or tips about herbs you want to share before we start winding down for the hour?
Well, I think we've talked about a lot of things. I mean, I don't even stop and think about how many times I use herbs during the day. You know, I mean, if I'm cooking, I can't cook without using herbs. If I'm doing roasted potatoes in the oven,
mm-hmm.
I roast them with olive oil and fresh herbs. If I'm doing, and again, it depends on what I'm complementing. If
mm-hmm.
I'm doing a lamb, I might use rosemary. If I'm doing chicken, I might use tarragon or something like that. If I'm doing chicken again, I'll use that dried sage again. And olive oil and herbs are the secret ingredient I use in whenever I'm cooking. And I think it's wonderful.
That's fantastic. And not everyone has this super green thumb as you. Are there any resources that you'd recommend people that, you know, as they get into trying to cook and grow with herbs more, that they could consult? Are there any particular books you've really liked or websites you've really liked over the years?
To be honest with you, a lot of mine is, you know, local knowledge that I've just sort of picked up. But, I mean, any recipe that I'm looking for, if you go to Epicurious or if you go to any, I mean, I happen to have a couple of very favorite, I mean, I love Lydia Bastanovich's cookbooks. I like Tom Colicchio's cookbooks.
And that's your Italian.
And you know, and that's just
yeah.
it. I, you know, I'm very, you know, they're,
yeah.
all, and they all tell you what herbs to use.
Yeah.
But I also think if you go to the farmer's market
mm-hmm.
and talk to the growers, they'll give you recipe ideas.
Well, I love that idea about really establishing a relationship with your local gardening source, because, you know, hopefully there you can go and ask questions and ask, okay, I went home, I did this, and come back. So I think that, like you said, local knowledge is really great.
I think if you have a local farmer's market or a farm-to-table place that you can go, any place, they'll give you ideas. A few years ago, I had never cooked with garlic scapes before. I didn't know what to do with them, and I belonged to a community garden. And all of a sudden, I got garlic scapes, and I thought, well, what do I do with this? Well, I went back to the girl who was running the garden, and, I mean, we came up with 3 different recipes, and then I went online, and there were, like, 12 recipes,
yeah.
and the next thing I knew, I was reading the Wednesday Times, and there was a whole full-page article. I said, did somebody all of a sudden discover garlic scapes?
It's funny how certain vegetables do come
in,
herbs, they become, you know, sort of en vogue, and also I think people really are being more attuned to eating seasonally.
Well, I mean, I never knew what a garlic scape was before, and all of a sudden, there it was, you know, but again, I think if you patronize the local, your local farmer's market,
mm-hmm.
and talk to the people there that are growing them, they'll give you great ideas.
Plus, the Internet's a wonderful thing.
Oh,
it's really changed the way people cook and made it so more accessible. And at the end of the day, I think have fun with it. I definitely used to be so prescriptive about only follow the recipe.
Right.
And now, you know, I'll kind of freestyle. I'll look at a few different recipes, figure out what I have on hand, and make my own sort of little mélange. And you know what? If it doesn't come out perfect the first time, try again.
Well, when you were a child growing up, did your mother ever give you watermelon salad? And, you know, with mint and feta cheese, you would look at her and say, what are you, crazy? And now
you eat it all the time.
So, yeah. I mean, and it's really funny, even with my granddaughters, I am shocked. I mean, you know, used to give them a slice of watermelon. They look at you now like, this is it. They've looked at, you know, new ideas, and mm-hmm. they're eating differently and healthier. And, you know, it's just a whole different way of life. And it's
more
a great way of life.
Fruits and vegetables and fresh herbs. So kind of back to the basics.
Back to the
basics.
Really
great. Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I really just can't thank you enough for being on the show today. It's been a fascinating hour. And thank you, listeners. I hope you found today's show interesting and informative and really inspiring to go start growing your own herbs if you're not already doing it, and also learn some new ways to incorporate it into your cooking. You can contact me with any questions at Jennifer F. F as in Frank Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y, at Gmail. You can also give feedback at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. You click the follow button and then you can send us a message. I hope also that you'll check out Monday's show, which is Spiritually Speaking with Rev Jen at 8 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesday's show at 12 noon Eastern, Fun to Fortune, Startup Success, which is a conversation with those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortune in the process, on the Life Coach Radio Network. And the Happy Healthy Hour will be back on August 24th at 5 p.m. Eastern to interview Margaret Marshall, president of Margaret Marshall Associates and the founder of the Why Weight Coaching Method, an author of Body, Mind, Mouth, Life's Eating Connection, which is a really great read. I'm almost through the end of it now, and it's really full of anecdotes that demonstrate how your mind affects your mouth and how your mouth affects your body and how shifting those thoughts can really benefit your health and wellness, and she'll talk about how to achieve this. So you don't want to miss that. So that's it for today. Wishing you all a very happy, healthy weekend, and again, a big thanks to our special guest, Debbie Van Borgendien.